Welcome to Rooted Agritourism. I'm Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen, owner of Sunny Mary Meadow, a U-Pick flower farm, wedding florist, and event venue in central Minnesota. Our mission is to serve anyone rooted in agritourism, value-added agriculture, and rural entrepreneurship. The people turning ideas and raw products into thriving businesses and experiences. Let's dig in.
We've got some amazing guests, but I want to point out one amazing guest real quick. Thank you, sir. Is my dear friend Joel Kahn here? Have you guys met Joel Kahn? You have now. Yeah, Joel and I met in like September, October. 2005. And we were connected by a mutual friend, and our mutual friend, a guy named Marvin Moore, said, "You need to meet Joel Kahn. He's got an amazing ebook." An ebook that you were selling for how much?
$97.
And I had to convince him that he really should take that ebook and
buy thousands of copies.
A lot of money. And I had to convince him to turn that ebook that he's killing it on into a paperback book that was sold for $15.95, whatever he said. And it was an uphill battle, but he knew the value even before I did. We were still very, very young as a publisher. We started in 2003. And Joe, you said what?
I asked you if you had had a New York Times bestseller yet.
And I said, no. Almost not even believing that we could do it, at that point in our young life. And then what did you say?
With a very straight face, I said, well, I'm going to be your first.
And I laughed out loud. Now, hopefully I did it with love and respect, but I laughed out loud. Well, guess what happened? Yes, it was our first four New York Times bestseller.
We hit the monthly and the weekly twice, then we hit the business week bestseller, and I think number three on all of Amazon.com, because Oprah got in the way.
Yeah, but Oprah.
And the dog whisperer guy, Cesar Milan.
Never heard of him. Never heard of him. But so I'm honored to have him here. We're still together. He's actually my best friend, and that happens a lot. I'm actually become best friends with all of our authors, so I'm really, really, really honored. So if you need a new friend, I'm available.
You have to sign with Martin James first?
Not necessarily. It's a good bonus, but not necessary. But yeah, I'm honored to have this panel up with today. So we're just gonna talk about publishing, and I want to introduce everybody. We've got a great women. Okay, this wasn't necessarily planned, but every one of these experts on stage is a Martin James author. Seriously, that wasn't my plan. But we only work with the experts, as Brendan Burchard was saying. I am an expert, right? Have you heard him say that? Okay, never mind. So that was thank you. That was 15
years. That's how I got started with his book, The Millionaire Messenger.
I think we have two mics. We have a second mic.
Yeah, that's the one that I
right.
Oh, is it behind us?
Yeah.
So we're gonna just introduce the panel real quick. For the second time this week, I'm gonna let go of the mic. Oh, perfect. So I don't have to let go if they have one, but I'm gonna let everybody just kind of do a quick little introduction of who they are and their connection to the space. And we're gonna share some wisdom, but we do want to, if we have time, we want to answer any and all questions you have. So think of this as, all the questions that you were afraid to ask and intimidated to do so, we're gonna ask today, because how could any of us intimidate you? This is so much fun. We're really having a good time. So again, thank you for being here. I'm David, the founder of Morgan James Publishing. And Liz, who we met last year here
at PodFest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Would you introduce yourself to us? Besides being an incredibly amazing woman who's an awesome story that's gonna tug on your heart, but what she's done with it will blow you away.
Hi, I'm Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen, getting used to using my phrase or my title of doctor. I have a doctorate in nursing, and I have this story where in 2020, I was working full-time as a nurse practitioner and ultimately had started this little side hustle of a farm stand selling flowers at the end of my driveway during COVID. And it was never meant to be anything more than it was than that. And then in December of 2020, my husband died of a heart attack. And I found out I was pregnant the day after the funeral. And that is a huge part of my story. And in my journey of trying to write a book, I kind of thought that that was the story. And I thought I was writing a book about, honestly, trauma for trauma's sake. But what ended up happening is this farm completely exploded in an interesting way. I would say it, instead of having instead of having crock pot growth, I had microwave growth on my business because there were so many eyes on it and people were trying to support me. And it just, anytime a business 70 times their revenue in 5 years, that's actually not great business growth. But it turned into this great, you know, agritourism destination, and we have this venue on the farm that we've built, and we do weddings for 60 florists or for 60 brides, and it's turned into this wonderful thing. But last year, I was sitting here and I decided I was never going to publish my book. And because I had this podcast on teaching people about flower farming because people wanted to know how I did that and it was so successful. But then I kept getting asked to come on other people's podcasts to talk about grief. And I was just very scattered as an entrepreneur. And I had probably 60,000 words. And I came down here with my podcast producer. And our goal was to get sponsors for my flower farming podcast. That's why we came to PodFest. And in the very first session that I came to here, because Abby forced me to go to it, she's like, just find out what it would be like to get your book published, just see. And I was trying to do this self-help, how to get through your grief, how to get over your anger, something like that. And Nick was here, and the very first thing he said is, the reason people don't finish their book is because they're writing the wrong book.
That's right.
And get to the space that gets you where you want to be in 5 years. And I was going to these grief retreats and I was talking on these grief podcasts and I was, you know, talking about all of these things. And not that that's not a huge part of my story, but I'm happily remarried. It's a huge chapter of my life and I'm very happy to talk about it, but that's not my story and that's not where I want to be in 5 years. I want to be having a really happy flower farm. Our motto is happy, damn it. That's literally on the signs, is, you know, not everything is great, but we're gonna get through it. And so the book turned into a memoir. It's still in the categories of self-help, and it's on right now on Barnes & Noble in the coming soon category. Out of 2,700 books, it's number one in religion. It's number, I think, out of 4,100, it's number six on memoir, right next to Cher. I mean, it's resonating. It comes out in March, but it's, you know, that's the story that I want, is kind of the story of how my farm came to be. So that's my advice, is if you're trying to think of what book to write, don't try to retrofit what you think people want. Just think about what that's going to do for you as an author.
Thank you.
And before Sabine continues with that amazing intro with thank you, she also and I met last year at PodFest. And I mean, like, where have you been all my life? She's another amazing soul. So Sabine, thank you for being here and sharing your wisdom. Again, she's probably forgot more about marketing and books than I can ever think I ever remember. And I'm honored to have you on the platform with us today. So continue after those two amazing words.
Thank you, David. So it's something similar, what you just shared. I was here, I've been going to PodFest for some years now as podcaster and speaker. And last year, I was interviewed by another podcaster. And after the interview, she came to me and said, Sabine, you need to write a book.
That's right.
And I said, well, I already wrote 3 books. But she said, no, you don't understand. You have to write your book, your stories. You have such a colorful life where you just shared and all the wisdom. You need to write that book, a biography or something. I said, okay, let me think about it. And I'm always following my intuition. So I went to the expo hall and there was Morgan James Publishing. And there was a sign that says, pitch your book and we give you feedback. The problem was I didn't have a book. But I thought, well, maybe I can get some feedback. So I scheduled a time with Chrissy. And so then I went and told a couple little vignettes of my story. And Chrissy was very quiet. I said, oh, was it bad? And then she just replied, you are a good storyteller, because I'm also known as the storytelling dame from Germany. But your stories really touched my heart. You need to write this book. Oh, okay. And so I went thinking. I didn't say yes right away. You know what I did? I Googled Morgan James Publishing. Said, ooh.
That's a smart thing to do.
Yes, I thought, okay, let me see. Maybe they take everybody, but no. No, no, no. So we get about 5,000 pitches a year, and 150s are the lucky ones. And wow, that's 3%. I said, okay, I guess I need to write this book. And long story short, yes, Chrissy, she is my editor too, because we had such a great relationship. By the way, Morgan James, it's just a beautiful, beautiful family. I've never expected that relationship and the journey that we did together, and the beautiful authors, co-authors that I met along the journey. So anyways, so my book came about, a memoir, and it was released, I mean, just now. So it's just now available on Barnes & Noble. It's called Gumption, Sacred Whispers, Bold Moves, and the Courage to Become. And that's what it's all about. It's about the journey of becoming your next greater self. And having the spirituality as a very important part of it, the belief that you have, but also everything that we experience in life. And Gumption is my framework. So it's not just stories, because it's important that every story has to have a point, and every point has to have a story. And that is what I kind of put together. So somewhere in between Chicken Soup for the Soul, Think and Grow Rich, and The Secret.
That's right.
Congratulations. I'll just fill in the gap real quick. I'm Joel Kamm. I've been doing business online for more than 30 years now. I've written 16 books.
Yeah. You have a voice for radio.
You need to go on my podcast.
You have a Facebook, too. And I've been podcasting since 2008. Played with, pioneered a lot of the technologies that we use today, and just had a meeting with David outside the room before this session, and committed to writing book number 17, one of them, number 10 with Morgan James. Based on my latest podcast called AI for Everyone, which is serving the 55 plus community to take away the intimidation factor and make it so that AI can be used practically to enrich and empower their lives. And if I can help any of you in any way, just ask.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, good stories. I'm Dr. James Torkelson, known commonly as Dr. T. I'm a clinical psychologist since making a transition from the field of behavioral health, which I've been in service of for 40 plus years, and thought I would retire on the golf course. God woke me up one morning, February 20th, and said, get up and write. I did, and how many know you don't say no to God?
Right.
So I have my book, Awaken, Exposing the Web of Deception, Threatening Our Faith, Family, and Freedom. It is a niche. It's not for everyone. But our messages aren't for everyone, and they also are not for us. We already have it. God puts out in us to plant, to produce, to expand it, to get our voice out to others. I was having breakfast this morning. I saw you across the table. I was meeting with a gentleman. We were collaborating. And the waitress comes up and sees the book and says, is that, are you the author? I said, yes. She said, my son just bought that book. We need that book. We need that message. And so I signed one and gave it to her. I'm also signing one for she can give to her son, and told them to pass it on, like Chrissy was saying, give it away. But it's a message for people. And so that's the importance of all of these messages. Not one of us speak to everyone. I have a principle I operate under called most. We need many voices, we need many messages to reach many people.
That's right.
I have written a number of things. They weren't necessarily, well, of course my dissertation, but some articles, and I have an ebook, which this just hit me. I have an ebook I should probably think about putting into a book, but then I've written this one and look forward to the continuance journey. I'm also starting a podcast. Okay, and the name of my podcast that I came to has now changed. When I'm leaving, it'll be something different. And it was interesting because I felt impressed not to launch my first episode before I left. I was supposed to wait till I got back because some things would change, and sure enough, they did change.
What's the new title?
All right, so it was Truth, Faith, and Culture. Now it's Miracles Next Door by Dr. T. Because everyone has a miracle, and everyone can share that for someone else's benefit. And in that platform, we can still talk about something that's dear to me, and that's truth and faith and culture.
I like that, because not only is it, say, your miracle's coming, but by saying miracle next door means it's so close.
Yes, and it's all around, and everybody has one.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, sir. So anyway, enough. Anything else I should add there?
You did good.
Mr. CEO.
That's good. So what I'm going to do now is just kind of open up to you guys. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your stories, and I'm honored to have you with us today. But let's ask any and all questions. If you don't come up with questions, I'll make up some, because I know the answers to those. So we have our first guinea pig. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Abby.
Hello, Abby with Abby Graves Productions. I would love to know from each of you, if you could just like shortly summarize, what did you wish you knew going into the publishing process, specifically with Morgan James Publishing, since this is the big sponsor of everything, and you guys are all Morgan James authors?
Can I go first? I'll be fast. Okay.
You have the microphone. I have a microphone, too.
And I talked about this a little bit yesterday. The one thing that I wish I knew, and I had good counsel. I mean, I had really good counsel when I wrote my first book, but I didn't really appreciate what he was telling me. So the thing that I do now better than I do anything else is the best time to start marketing your book is the moment you decide to write it. Not when you finish it, not when you have it in hand, not on pub date, I've seen it. The best time to start marketing a book is right now. Start telling people, I've decided to write a book. Who cares if you don't know how you're gonna publish it? Who cares if you're not finished, but your audience is gonna hold you accountable, then they become very vested in the process with you, and you need them to say yes when you ask them to go pre-order the book. So start. When?
Now. Right now.
When?
Now.
When?
Now.
That's right.
Which is incidentally exactly the advice you gave me outside the room, once again, even though I should know this. I just want to recognize that a chicken and a beaver, is that what that is? What is it? A cat just walked into the room. Okay. Well, I just wanted to recognize the barnyard just entered into the room. So I've had 9 books with Morgan James, 1 with No Starch Press, 4 with Wiley and 1 with Thomas Nelson. And the thing that I've learned is no matter who you work with, you are going to be your own best promoter and marketer and PR. Morgan James certainly has given support in all my efforts, but even the larger publishing houses, even the one that gave me the largest royalty of my life, they count on you as the author to be your greatest evangelist and promoter. And so realize that there isn't a publishing house today that unless you're J.K. Rowling or Clive Patterson and they're giving you $1 million, millions in advances, you're gonna be the one that is beating the pavement in your own best promoter.
For me, I think it is something similar along the line, but I was not, my mind wasn't there promoting. My mind was just like, holy moly, I need to write a book, and coming up with everything. And that writer's block that you may have at the beginning, my best advice can be just sit down and just don't think you have to write it in gold. Just start writing. And once I did that, and I let every limiting beliefs and every writer's block get out of the window and just say, just start writing and have fun. And then everything will fall in place.
I think what I wish I had known before and what I'm still just taking the time to remind myself now is I'm a numbers person, I'm an analytical person, I have built my businesses based on what gets measured gets managed. Every single blog post, every podcast episode, the flowers that I offer for my brides, it's, you know, what colors are getting requested most, how many clicks, what's, you know, where is this information coming from, watching those metrics. And right now it's just kind of this, you know, especially being in this pre-order phase, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. But that individual message and being really focused right now on the people that are reaching out, say, I'm excited for this book, or if I do a little teaser of a little portion of a chapter and, you know, notice that more people are following my page or something like that, knowing that imagine your ideal reader, not your ideal audience. And that's what's really helped me is, you know, trying to imagine that specific person that you are helping, because you're not going to help everyone, and that's okay.
What did you just say? It was a phrase. What gets measured gets what?
Managed.
Managed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would agree with all this. And I think for me, maybe the process, just a little more. We, by nature, all of us are a bit impatient, right? And we like things to happen quicker than you do. Case in point. Case study, as we do a lot. But we are. And so we're so excited about our message and our book and what we're doing. And we would like to see it printed yesterday. And even once it's printed, we'd like to see it kind of distributed. And we would like to get our copies. And so maybe a little more encouragement to, you know, be patient, but trust. So you know, just trusting that we have them. Morgan James has your back. They're working in your best interest. We are a team, but we have to exercise our patience too and trust something outside of ourselves. And that is that it's gonna get out at the right time, and it's gonna and it may take longer than we wish, but that's because we have experts that care, trying to produce the best product on our behalf and for the message we want to get out. So it's just that patience and that understanding and knowing a little more of that going in. And I'm not saying I gave our publisher a hard time, but she got a few more calls than she probably wanted, saying, where's this at, when's it coming, and that kind of thing.
Thank you so much, Abby. That was a great question. And thank you, expert. Did you have one more thing you wanted to say? Okay. All right, that's a great question. So who's number two? Well, yeah, I'll come to you. You go. Absolutely.
I'd love if you have any like promotion secrets, but a specific question I have, if I'm promoting my book, do you send them right to a shopping cart like Amazon or to your book or author website where there's bonuses?
Yes. All of the above. I've marketed so many different ways. The way we got the AdSense code 20 years ago to New York Times bestseller was through a lot of partners with a lot of bonuses. I think I had 50 partners. And remember, it's not who you know, it's who knows you, right? And so building that network of people that you can align with that will support your goals and you can support theirs is a great way to do it. But when you talk about promotions and marketing, a lot of people use swag. They create something, whether you know it's a pen or a t-shirt or whatever. And the best piece of swag that I ever created is a great example for everybody. I was inspired by Staples Easy Button. Everybody know that?
Oh, yeah.
That was easy. And I did a book for John Wiley and Sons in 2010 called Ka-Ching, How to Build an Online Business That Pays and Pays. Talked about internet marketing, affiliate marketing, selling your own products, and all this. And I decided the visual would be this green button in the same shape as the Easy Button. It was a dollar sign on the top. And when you would push it, it would go ka-ching. I thought, how do I manufacture these? So I found a contact, had it made in China, and had a bunch sent to me. And when I sent the book out to editors, I sent it with the ka-ching button. When you send out something that's swag, a lot of it automatically gets pitched. People are like, another koozie? I need another koozie, really? So you want to make sure it gets opened, whatever it is that they have, that they use it and they keep it. I can't tell you to this day how many people still tell me the ka-ching button is on their desk and they still use it when a sale comes in. In fact, so many people liked them that I had thousands produced, shipped to fulfill by Amazon and sold them for $18.95 for several years until somebody made knockoffs and I decided I didn't want to compete with them. But those are my tips.
Well, we have to talk. Because this is, I want to be the number one. No, maybe not the number. Yes, number one.
Of course.
New York Times, all kinds of best-selling lists. That's my goal. And with that said, there are also different ways from, and I'm just starting out, so it's just like what I've learned from the master over there. It's
that would be one of
what is your objective? So my objectives obviously is if I want to be a bestseller, it has to be bought at the stores, as many stores as possible. So I sent people there, and what I'm doing right now, when I'm talking and when I'm teaching courses or master classes or workshops, I encourage people, hey, if you pre-order it, because it's not out until August, so I have 8 months time now to build this up, if you pre-order it and send me a copy, you will get a master coaching session with me, which is a high value. And if somebody is wanting what I provide as communication confidence coach, so, oh yeah, that's a steal. So that is one of my strategies. But as I said, I'm going to talk with this guy because I wanted to get to the bestseller list. So.
Found the video.
Oh, look at that. I love it.
So I started my wait list on my website in April, and get on the list, get on the wait list, probably 3 times a month. So like every 10 days I would share it on my social media. And I have like 7 different Instagram accounts for my different, I have my brick and mortar flower farm. I have my event venue. I have my podcast that's rooted agritourism related to this. I put on the Flower Farmer Forum conference, but then there's myself, my author page. And so I just kept sharing that on all of those pages, just everywhere. And I'm like, hey, if you're interested in book specific stuff. And so from April through November, I kept track on a spreadsheet, because what gets measured gets managed. And I have a spreadsheet of follower accounts of all of everything for the last. And then in December, when pre-orders were available, I officially said, hey, pre-orders are launched and here we are. And then I renamed my wait list to the Bloom Crew. And people want something to cheer for. They are part of it. I had pitched my book to some traditional publishers, to some literary agents, and they said, hey, it's a great story, but at the time I had 500 followers on Instagram. I still have less than 2,000 on my personal page, and they're like, nobody's gonna care. I'm like, oh, I think they will. I think that I have a very engaged audience, and that's what they want. And so I have a Google Drive that they can go to with, hey, download this, post this on social, say the book, and just, they want something to root for and to be part of it. So I've just brought them on the journey, and if they don't want to be part of it, then they don't have to.
Nice. So I can also put, before Dr. T jumps in, couple things probably to consider when where to send them to buy the book is, don't send everybody to Amazon. Everybody knows the book is on Amazon. Now, unless Amazon's your only source to get the book, say things like, go to your favorite bookstore, or available at your favorite bookstore, or wherever books are sold. But maybe even send links to your favorite bookstore. So if you have traditional distribution, and it's definitely pre-public, pre-orders matter. You've heard that mentioned a minute ago. If as many pre-orders we get at BarnesNoble.com can influence how many stores will carry it on the shelf. So drive them to Barnes Noble if you can, but avoid the Amazon trap. So if you're published by a publisher and you have distribution, you will get blacklisted and not even know it if you say Amazon one too many times on social media, and that one too many times could be one time. I mean, it's a very sensitive topic. But you can link to or talk about any bookstore on the planet, nobody will get upset at you unless you say Amazon. So keep that in mind. The bookstore buyers.
The bookstore buyers.
Yeah, in fact, we had one of our Wall Street Journal USA Today bestselling, and actually our top grossing foreign rights translated books has been blacklisted on Barnes & Noble for 5 years. They just got unblacklisted 5 years later. So we don't want that for you. So send them to your favorite bookstore, encourage them to go to their favorite bookstore. And if they go to Amazon, that's great, that's wonderful. All book sales matter. But spread the love.
Yeah, I think that's
self-published.
Sorry,
just as self-published, the reason I'm sending there and I'm open to your feedback is because then the algorithm shows my book to more buyers on Amazon, and it's not at the local bookstore.
And that's perfect. So drive up to Amazon. But in that case, to kind of further that, the answer of where you should send them is you should send them to your website first, like on podcasts or in conversations. Go to the website, learn more about the book, and give them something. You get an ethical bribe, we call it in guerrilla marketing. It's really a lead magnet. And then point them to Amazon. That way you can hopefully capture as many, because Amazon's not going to tell you about the book, so if you can capture as many names and email addresses as possible, give them some sort of gift to stay engaged with you, get them on your email list, and then send them over to Amazon. But yeah, absolutely. So for the big picture, listen to whatever else we say, but that's perfect. Dr. T.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, and I was just going to say it's not going to happen on its own. It just isn't. It's very rare. I mean, even the Bible didn't happen on its own. It got people out sharing it, right, and sharing the word. But maximizing our sphere of influence, right? We have a past, we have a present, but then maximize and build and expand your current. And we do that through an eclectic kind of utilization of the different methodologies, the way, the modalities that we can use to get our book out. I've got three conferences coming up I will be speaking at and equipping men and so forth. They'll sure be hearing about my book. I'm starting the podcast. They'll certainly be hearing about it. So all of these are avenues to get our message and our word out. And as we put in that energy, that passion, that effort, that time, then what's the end result? Well, we know all the parables of the farmer and everything else. Seed turns into a harvest. And so as we do all that, it will happen. We need to trust that. But our passion, our excitement, and our commitment is going to make that happen. And use our collaborations, build that network, and that's what I'm working at. I see it happening piece by piece. And looking at what you've already produced is incredible. And what you've accomplished is incredible. And that's how it happens.
That's great. Thank you so much. So we've got time for like one more question-ish. Who would like to ask the next question? This has been really good. Don't be shy. We got another question that you might guys might want to. Oh yes, thank you. Give me a big one. All right, brother.
Okay, talking about this self-promoting the book and getting out there and the author's got to do it, it scares the crap out of me. You know, honestly, like just being busy with life and family and podcasting and my wife, right? What does it take? Like I, what's the picture? Like how much time are you actually doing it and what does it require?
I don't think it's about the time. It's the right moves with the right people. Yeah. It's about being wise and figuring out, okay, who can help move, which activities are gonna move the needle the most. Otherwise, you can get completely bogged down with a list of, I guarantee you there's books out there that tell you, here's 100 things you can do to promote your book.
That's right.
And it can be a lot. You didn't write that. You have to figure out what's going to work best with your lifestyle and focus on it and then do the best you can with, you know, pick one thing to start with. But we only 24 hours in a day. I mean, how many of them do you sleep? Then you got a wife and kids and you have work and nobody's useful if you're facing burnout. So the thing I can tell you is no matter what you're doing, make sure you're having fun doing it. So you're fully engaged.
I say amen. But I do think like anything we build, and I'll give it right to you, you know, we do start out a little broader, you know, because we want to get some traction, we want to get some energy, we want to get some response, but very quickly we need to narrow that in and go with what's working. Because we have a capacity, everyone has a capacity. We want to try to go to the as close to that capacity as we can, but we don't want to try to go beyond it or you experience burnout.
There is no one size fits all, I'll say this, and if you do what everybody else is doing, you're not gonna stand out. So figure out that one thing that differentiates you, and just because you go, well, nobody's done that, perfect, sign me up for that.
And second, what they just said, number one, have fun doing it. Number two, make it personal to you, because it really doesn't do any good if you say, oh, now I have to post this now, oh. Then you're dragging your feet. But if you do something that is aligned with what you do and who you are and have fun doing it, that is what comes across authentic to the audience. And then they want to buy from you. So I'm on video all the time. I talk about confidence and all this stuff. And I talk about gumption. And so and I just have fun promoting it. But not always, oh, buy my book. No. Just say, hey, this is like one piece and go out on video if you can, because this is where people have connection with you. They see you, they hear you, and there's an energy that comes across on video. So like on Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is. Everybody has their specific one. But be you, have fun, be authentic, and be aligned with your message, and then just go for it.
To make it really simple, there's one little square graph that I really like to look at. Really simple. You know, how do you decide what to delegate first or what to get rid of? And, you know, the things that you hate and you are not good at, get rid of them. If you make me make graphics on Canva, I will throw my computer out the window. And so that is the first thing I will do, you know, just a static post. I'll make a reel, I'll make a carousel, I'll do social media, I'll go be a guest on someone else's podcast. That's easy for me. But to sit there and, you know, make something look perfect and no, I don't want to do that. So that's what I've decided. Hey, I want you to make 2 posts a week on this, or, you know, I've hired that part out or something. But just figure out, because it has to be sustainable. And if it's something you hate doing, and I had a hard time. I do have someone that between all of my businesses helps with some of that part. But it's like, if you dread it every time, because it's a long game. And so if that's something that you cannot do consistently, then either don't do that and go be a guest on someone else's podcast, something. But whatever work you're doing yourself, make sure it's something that you can do consistently without wanting to throw your computer out the window on a daily basis.
Thank you.
And I just want to just add to that what you just said. You know, you outsource. So right now I have a VA, she's posting and I look at, oh, that looks really good. So she's doing all that stuff that you would like throw out of the window, me too. Yeah. And then I go on and say, hey, I'm at PodFest and look at this, and we are right now here and there, and you will see it later today.
That's really, really good. And in guerrilla marketing, we call that hiring a designated guerrilla. But you have in your hand, the book you have in your hand right now, there's over 100 different things you could do and should do to market your book and engage your audience, but don't think you have to do them all. As long as you're doing 3 to 5 things consistently every week, you will be way ahead of every author that you've met. The average author will do marketing for a month and a half, and you're stronger than that. So keep it up. So that's really, really good, really, really good answers. Thank you. That's a great question. So we're out of time. I know you guys might have some place to go, but if you want to throw in another question, we can. But otherwise, man, this is really good. I have a gift for you. Can I give you guys a gift? Besides the presents here of all of our amazing offers, if you don't already have it, I'd love to gift you a copy of Guerrilla Marketing for Writers. Over 21 million guerrilla books sold, and honored to be co-author of that book with Jay Levinson. So just go to gmarketingforwriters.com. That's gmarketingforwriters.com. And funny little side note, and I'll let you go. That book is effectively 26 years old. Second edition came out in 2010, so maybe it's 16 years old. But it's still relevant. Hopefully we wrote it to be as timeless as possible. But my only marketing that I do for that book now, and just a hint, it is as relevant as we make it. So I try to keep it relevant. But my only marketing is I give the book away, just like I did to you. Like, I'll go on podcasts and give a great Q&A on guerrilla marketing. And at the end, I go, I got a gift for you guys. Hey, if you go to gmarketingforwriters.com, you can get the book free. I'll get about 5,000 people a year who say, yeah, I'll do that. And then I sell 7,000 physical copies because of it. Wow. So consistency matters. Build trust. Do something. That's it for you guys. Thank you. Everybody, give it up for our audience.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rutted Agritourism. If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review and share it with someone who would find it helpful or inspiring. Your support helps us reach more rural entrepreneurs, dreamers, and doers just like you. You can explore all of our resources at sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com, where you'll find each episode in blog form along with free resources to help grow your business. You'll also find info on upcoming on-farm and virtual workshops, classes, and courses. Be sure to check out our monthly membership, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, where you'll get access to a full library of our original course content, plus ongoing support through monthly virtual meetups with others in the industry. Just click the link in the show notes or our bio to learn more. We'd love to have you join us. Until next time, keep growing with purpose and stay rooted.